chapter 10 as we continue our study. That song, "In a Land Where We'll Never Grow Old," if you're under 45, you don't appreciate that. There ain't nothing golden oldie about it, man. It should be called the dark years or the ache and pain years. But one day, even Joe Medicare is going to get a new body. Amen. John chapter 10. Good thing I didn't have the thing on. You know what it just said? I don't have an answer for that. I didn't ask you a question. So we're going to shut her off. I found this on the web. John 10, NIV. That's a bad start. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray you bless your word to our people this morning. Thank you for the songs. Thank you for the boost on missions. We needed it. Pray we'd renew our commitments. Pray we'd make up maybe what we've lacked, fallen behind, that you might we might live by faith and you might bless us. Pray for our missionaries, 8 of them, Lord, all around this globe, this planet, their children and children coming of age. And what do we do? And Lord, just help us with the officials and the governments and the paperwork and all the things that you know all about. Well, thank and praise you. Bless our service here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You've heard it a lot in the last few weeks, but John 10:1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, same as a thief and a robber, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out." Verse 9, "I am the door, and by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and shall find pasture." And we've been talking about pastures the last few weeks, and in the midst of a tired and wacky, worn-out world, that affords us a great opportunity for our marriages, though one may never read a Bible, to picture the peace and the joy and the security that we get from our shepherd, Jesus Christ. It also affords a great opportunity, a crazy world does, for young people in love with the Lord to present God's alternative for living to a generation that's really lost its way and knows nothing about God, for the most part, nothing about the Bible. And when we couple those things together like we did last week, it affords our homes an opportunity to become pastures, really, of peace and stability and security, not only for us to experience the abundant life. When he said, "I come that you might have life, have more abundantly," this is the context that he said it in, but that our homes might become living epistles that are known and read of all those that might pass our way. Someone said, "Do you do premarital counseling?" Yes, I'm doing it right now. Get a pad and paper. Our marriage needs a tune-up. Listen. Because in the last 2 weeks, in the next 2 weeks, I'm going to give you all I got. You say, "I'm not married." Yeah, but you're in the family. And if you'll let the Holy Spirit will adapt it and tweak it and oil it and make it just for you where you're at. So last week we showed Dad as a type of an under-shepherd to the great shepherd, Christ in the home, that realizes those in his fold are going to be shepherded by someone. Folks run out of here, man, thinking, "No one's going to tell me what to do." And in 2 weeks, they got ripped jeans and a tattoo and a nose ring. I thought you were your own man. You are going to be servant to somebody. By default, you're going to have a shepherd. By default, you're going to follow. Or you're going to follow Jesus Christ. There's no neutral. So we learn from John 10 that the under-shepherd must be present enough. I mean, the shepherd's got to be there enough to know the sheep and the sheep to know him. We learn that under-shepherd doesn't send the sheep. He leads the sheep. We learn that that under-shepherd isn't only willing to die, but the way the Bible puts it, to give their life for the well-being of the sheep, which is a perfect picture to lead us to where we're going today. Pastures, part 3, the porter. The porter. A good shepherd has a good porter. It says in verse 3, to him, to that shepherd, the porter openeth. Now, doctrinally, in relation to Jesus Christ, who is this porter? Well, there's actually some disagreement among theologians. Some say it's God the Father. God the Father led the way. God the Father opened the door for and gave His Son, Jesus Christ, that He might redeem the world. Some say it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the one that descended on Jesus Christ at the beginning of His ministry, at the baptism of John the Baptist. And, of course, He leads us and guides us and opens these doors in our lives. Some say it's John the Baptist, who certainly in the earthly realm was the forerunner to Jesus Christ. I think they're all good porters. I certainly wouldn't split the church over it. But practically and humanly speaking, porters in the Bible were door or gatekeepers appointed by the king or the shepherd. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 9. 1 Chronicles chapter 9. 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. First Chronicles 9:17. I'll try to pronounce these right. If I don't, you won't know the difference anyways. 1 Chronicles 9:17, and the porters were Shallum, and Akub, and Talmon, and Ahiman, and their brethren. Shallum was the chief, watch it, who hitherto waited in the king's gate. Waited as in a waiter. In the king's gate eastward. Say it with me. They were porters in the companies of the children of Levi. Keepers kept the door, kept the gate. They were appointed by the king. Now, there's two definitions. Oh, I got so excited. It's not often that I raise my hands, hallelujah, when I'm preparing a sermon. But man, I was getting some stuff, and you probably won't get excited about, but just so put up with me. There's two definitions to keep. One is to hold or to restrain in one's possession, not to lose power. To hang on to. I drive by an old farm and I see a one bottom plow out in that heap of junk. There's roots growing around it. It's rusted. And I've been driving by it for 15 years. And I go knocking that farmer's door and I say, hey, can I have that one bottom plow? And he says, no, I think I'll keep it. Amen? That's one. Amen. That's the farmer said, amen. That's one definition to keep. But the other one is to have in custody for security or preservation. To tend. To have the care of. That's. Listen, a hockey goalie is called a goalkeeper. He's called a goal tender. Now, he doesn't take the goal home with him, but he watches it. He defends it. He protects it for the team. That's what the porter was in the Bible. They kept the door. The shepherd, but to him the porter openeth. Now, here's where it gets gooder. The first mention of keeper, keep in the Bible, Genesis chapter 2. You can't get much earlier than that. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. You're familiar with the verse. Genesis 2. That's the first book in the Bible if you haven't figured that out yet. Genesis, beginnings. Chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to, say it, keep it. Keep it. Keep it. Adam, I want you to dress it. I want you to keep it. It's all yours to enjoy. And we know from other passage, and this is where we're going to fellowship. And in your keeping, in your tending, stay away from that tree over there. And as soon as he gave that assignment, with no new chapter, with no new paragraph mark, look what he says, the next instruction, verse 18. Go, see, verse 16, the Lord commanded, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. From the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Yes, we got a paragraph mark, but no new chapter. And the Lord God said, right after those instructions, "This cat's going to need some help." Granted, there's you don't need Roundup in this garden. There's no stink bugs. There are no mosquitoes. There's no the little worms that eat on the edge of everything. None of that. But nevertheless, he still had to dress and keep this garden. It's going to take some work. And the fact that he said, "You better stay away," he said, "I'm going to make a helper." Look at verse 18. God said, the Lord God said, "It's not good that man should be alone. I will make an help meet for him." I'm going to make a helper for the keeper. Adam, you're going to dress and keep it, and he needs some help. So I'm going to make him a helper for the keeper. And guess what God calls her? Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. I won't get this on the view. Titus chapter 2. Talking about the aged women in verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, say the next word. Keepers. I'm going to make a keeper to help the keeper keep. Now, when you consider that the Bible says a prudent wife is from the Lord, I didn't plan this. This is where we're at. "And he that findeth a wife." Now, guys, that ought to tip you off to something. I think to find something, you got to look for something. So if you're on that couch playing video games, waiting for her to knock on the door, you're not going to find a prize. When you consider that a prudent wife is from the Lord, and he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing, if you get a good one, she fills both definitions of keeper. I got a keeper. We were talking the other day. I told you I graduated with 535 in our class. She graduated the year after, same amount. And they ranked us. Mental capacity. And I've told you many times I was ranked number 10. Well, we're talking the other day, and I never knew this before. I said, "Hey, honey, what number were you out of 535?
25.
Sure am glad I landed her before she knew better. I got to keep her. In other words, I'm not going to let her go because she's a good keeper. Both definitions. And that's the plan of God, that porter is a keeper to help the keeper. And that's why there is barely any resemblance of the Bible home in our country. It is under attack. Because the idol shepherd knows that if the foundations, Genesis chapter 2, you can't get any more foundational than that, be destroyed, what can even the righteous do?
porters in the Bible kept what was the shepherd's, as in the Bible, so do the wife, the husband. To him, the porter openeth. Number two, the porter works in tandem with the shepherd. Almost like they're one. Go to John 10. I'm not a grammar major. I'm not even a grammar minor. So I'm sure you... What do they call it? Diagram a sentence. Who made that up? Just tell me what you want. All right. John 10. I never diagrammed a sentence in my life. I never heard of it. I mean, I must have missed something. Maybe that's why I was number ganging. So I know that if we diagram this sentence, that it'll be okay. But watch. Verse 2. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. The porter or the shepherd? Well, I'm sure that little semicolon probably tells you about something. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. Listen, the voice of the porter is got to be in unison with the voice of the shepherd. Or all the other things that happen in the passage about the sheep don't know the voice and the sheep flee and all that. It's just a different fold. In fact, the porter is there when the shepherd is absent. Now watch. Doctrinally, some say God, the Father, and Jesus are shepherd and porter. Some say the Holy Spirit and Jesus are our porter and shepherd. Either way, you know what we know about those two combinations? They're one. You know what the Bible says in your New Testament? About the husband and wife, the two shall be one flesh. It's a great mystery that the sheep may not even understand, but it's just like the shepherd and the porter are one. Mom and dad look different. They certainly sound different, just like porters and shepherds do. But when it comes to guiding and protecting and stabilizing and feeding the flock, it's like we're dealing with the same person. A lot of dual pictures here. Dad is the shepherd to the family, but don't ever forget you're also a sheep to God. And you'll only be as good a shepherd as you are a sheep. Don't doubt it. Mom is the porter for dad, but also a sheep to the shepherd. Husband, don't ever forget that. Show me a skittish sheep in the human realm, and 9 out of 10 times I'll show you a shepherd problem. Or a porter problem. It's the same role. Listen. Because I know what us men's tendency is. Did you hear what it said? You can't force fellowship. Leading by definition can't drive. You can't command fellowship. Wait a minute, preacher. That Bible says that she's to submit to the husband. Yes, it does. And it also said, he also said, follow me. How many are doing it? You can't mandate it. We follow Jesus Christ because he's followable. The very fact that most don't follow the chief shepherd, the great shepherd, is proof that you can't force fellowship. Now you can say, follow me, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. However, Paul said this, follow me as I follow Christ. And there's a big gap there sometimes. David said this, listen, sheep are going to follow a trustworthy, gentle shepherd. David said, "Thy gentleness hath made me great. Hands of steel with gloves of velvet." Now, here's a problem. You add that in our realm, what we're talking about here, the shepherds are sinners, the porters are sinners, and the sheep are sinners. Sounds like we need God's help. Good shepherds communicate clear direction to the sheep, does he not? Don't keep her guessing. And worse, don't keep her guessing, and then when there's decisions, turn around and say, "Why'd you do that?" With responsibility comes jurisdiction. Shepherds don't micromanage the porter. They don't have to. They're one. Second generation preachers. This is extra. That grew up separated unto God. Thank God that you don't have old love songs coming in your head when you're trying to prepare a sermon. Two hearts that beat as one. Our life has just begun. I say, "What'd you do?" I said, "I called her in there and I sobbed." Two hearts. Just like the sheep to the shepherd. Isn't that the plan? Us and him and he and us. Two hearts that beat as one, so that those sheep, they don't know the difference between the porter and the shepherd. The sheep know it, and that makes for a good pasture. The porter is a keeper in more ways than one if you get a good one. The porter works in tandem with the shepherd so that the sheep can hardly tell the difference. The porter controls, for the most part, who and what comes in and out of the fold, for the most time, I should say. Listen, first and foremost, the porter opens the door for the shepherd. Man, that will preach. To him the porter openeth. Listen, some of y'all are going to watch the gods today. The best running back is only as good as the offensive line that opens the hole for him to go through. Listen, young people, that porter will make you or break you. Now, I'm not saying to get so scared that I think we made some mistakes in the early days. Well, that better be the right one or God's not going to bless you. Man, they're so frick. Come on, man. The best quarterback is only as good as the protection of the line in front of him. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. God will give his. The devil will give his second best before God gives his best. Where'd you hear that? You heard that at Bill Gothard seminar. That's where you heard it. And back then I said, "Yeah, that's right." I better get off of that. 1 Timothy chapter 5. This church wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him, so don't stumble over that. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. Watch. 1 Timothy 5:14. We're talking about porters. "Therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children." Look at that next word. "Guide the house." Watch this. "Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully." That kind of sounds like the shepherd. The guide, the comforter, which the Holy Ghost, when the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, bring all things unto your remembrance. He's our guide. Mom, listen, you are the first line of defense of what comes in that home for the most part. If you're in a I don't want to say normal, what's the word? Conventional situation. You are the first line of defense that opens the door for the chief shepherd to come into their hearts. You can make or break that man. You can make or break those sheep. The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Talk about empowerment. Isn't that what they're wanting? Opening the first door for another human being to meet God? Is there a higher calling? Having jurisdiction at the most crucial, formidable years of their life over those for whom Christ died. And listen, at the beginning, they follow you and you don't even have to try. I was talking to a guy the other day. He said something funny. He said, yeah, I like my when my kids were young and they still like me. Mom, what an impact you have as the porter. They follow you without even trying. They follow you when you don't want to be followed. No wonder the idle shepherd wants to eradicate everything that God has planned. You get the wrong porter and the shepherd doesn't have a chance. Mom, the chief shepherd is knocking. Don't only open the door and let him in. Help him in. You may become the CEO of Tesla. And if you do, I hope you tithe. But if you die, they'll replace you tomorrow. You will never fully replace the porter in that home. I'm talking about that child's mother. Not only does the porter let the shepherd in, but the porter is the first line to keep the thieves and robbers out. He's just an extension of the shepherd. They don't know the stranger's voice, so they must know the porter's voice. And not only does the porter keep the sheep in, the porter decides when and for who to let them out. Go to Acts 12. I'll show you something funny. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, verse 6. When Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers, there they are again, before the door, kept the prison. Now, there are times when it is right for prisoners to escape. In this case, because they weren't guilty, and God worked it out where they got out. Christ was innocent in that tomb. And you know what it said when that stone rolled? It says, the keepers did quake, shake. But sometimes I'll hear kids say this, our house is like a prison. And mom is like the warden. Why? Maybe you're not ready for the shepherd yet. See, the porter simply opens the door and leads the sheep to the shepherd, and you don't even recognize his voice yet, and you wonder why she has doubts. Good porters are diligent to know and to keep the door, and when it's the shepherd knocking or when it's the idle shepherd. Now, I had to learn sooner or later, you got to let him go, man. I told you that girls were recording one time and we were in this studio. And there was this advertisement of a guitar. And it said, if you can't do it with this, you ain't got it. And I thought, man, by the time they're 25, hog tying them and keeping them in prison, there is such thing as black sheep. I might preach a whole message on that too. Some sheep refuse to stay in. The porter's a keeper. The porter works in tandem with the shepherd. The porter controls who and what comes in and out of the fold. And then lastly, go back to John 10. The porter has an option, just like the shepherd has an option. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, may I add, and not the porter, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, this is heavy, because he's an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. You say, isn't the porter kind of hired by the shepherd? Not in Jesus' case. They're one. In the Old Testament, the porters were appointed by the king. Porter, shepherd, one. Now, in this realm, depending on the shepherd's goal, there is good reason to hire it out. Hire it all out. Hire the portering out. Hire the chef. You know why? The money's better. Every successful businessman on the planet knows that. If I can do all the work to make the bread, and it costs me 50 cents a loaf to make, and I sell it for a dollar, 100 loaves a day, I make 50 bucks. But if I can get 5 of your kids to work for me to make it for 50 cents a loaf, and I'll give them a quarter a loaf, and each one of them makes 100 loaves. Now I'm selling 500 loaves. Now I'm getting 100 and a quarter today, and it's way less work. If the goal is money, may I submit the goal to Christian shepherding in a home is not the money. I got a little 3x5 card under the glass in my desk. Don't judge me because I don't know the man very good, but I did watch a documentary and he tries to help young men, but it's at Steve Harvey, and it says this: your career is what you're paid for, your calling is what you're made for. And God said, listen, your career is what you're paid for, your calling is what you're made for, and God said, I will make and help a keeper for the keeper, meet for him. But just because he did it, in no way, shape, or form, takes away the option of just hiring it out. But I'll tell you what, you won't get the same pasture because you don't get the same care. I'm going to say something that I wouldn't have said 20 years ago. Ooh, now I got you waking up. Every porter needs a break. Every porter needs, this is not what I wouldn't say 20 years ago, that's coming. Every porter needs to eat. The welfare of the sheep are at the mercy of the welfare of the porter. Don't stone me. Don't leave the church. I'm not going to be here a whole longer. Then you're going to have a perfect pastor. You're going to do everything right. And I would not say this 20 years ago. If they need a little Tom and Jerry for 30 minutes so you can get fed yourself, man, I was against that. We never had a television, nothing. 8 girls, 1 boy. I'll tell you about my rules next week. No running, no screaming in that home. And then I had grandsons. Well, I get the spoon out and my wife looks at me. What are you doing with that? What I did with your daughters. What do you think I would do with it? No. And I noticed something. They're like, well, you can't say Comanches no more, but they're whatever they're like. And I put Tom and Jerry on. And a light went on. Now I see why they do that. But don't ever hire it out to Tom and Jerry. what could be meant to let you eat in your welfare. See, you can be there. You cannot be there while you're there. And this is the end of us. I'm going to say another thing. To risk you forgetting the whole sermon. And I hope I speak for the new pastor. If I don't, he'll clean up the mess after I get down. If this church ever starts a little class, see, this group up here is getting smaller and smaller. If this group ever, a total voluntary, a little, it's not because we want to divide the family. It's not because we want to take away the authority. It's because we want to let the porter get fed. Because the sheep are only as strong as the porter. And you know what? They're not going to raise, the leadership in this church is not going to raise your sheep. You know why? They got their own sheep to raise. The goal is not money. The goal is not easy. The goal for the shepherd and the porter is the welfare of the sheep so that one day when the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd comes knocking, there you go. And I'll tell you, that Bible says there's no greater joy, and I can attest to it, there isn't. And I'm not sure that the other half of that, there might not be no greater heartache. They follow him. The same voice that comes from the shepherd comes from the porter that they've been hearing in that fold. Lots of needs this morning. Is your voice one with the shepherd's? If your sheep are skittish, I would encourage you to look in the mirror. Is the porter's and the shepherd's voice on the same page? You want some motivation? The sheep are at stake. Are your sheep getting accustomed to the voice of strangers? Listen, it's easier, it's cheaper. Let Donald Duck keep them. In fact, if it was Donald Duck, I might even be more open to it, but it's not Donald no more. Man, you look at these. Who's playing the rock and roll music in there? Oh, it's the cartoons. Shepherds, when's the last time you gave your porter a break? And I know most of you do. Now, maybe you say, preacher, I'm unmarried. This doesn't fit for me. Well, if you ever plan to, or that's ever an option in your future, listen, that porter and that shepherd is the biggest decision you will ever make in your life outside of salvation. You better hear the voice of the great shepherd. And then lastly, Jason, you can come. Would your sheep describe your home as a pasture? And with those that come your way, and we're going to talk about evidences of a good pasture and maybe help with that thing, because that's what we want, man. We want them to carry on and say, you know what? This pasture may not be perfect, and this shepherd may not be perfect, and this porter may not be perfect, and I'm certainly not perfect. But it sure is better than the idle shepherd. Somebody's going to lead me. I want to follow him. Jason, what number? Let's stand. Number 576.